The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Rivka Skidmore from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Flavor is about helping you live a healthier, happier lifestyle. Gardening tips for people with impaired vision. Gardening is one of the most popular leisure activities of Americans, and many people think that vision impairment will prevent them from enjoying their gardens. Not so. The French painter Claude Monet was an avid gardener who loved flowers as much as he did painting. And although Monet eventually lost most of his sight, he did not stop painting, nor did he ever lose his love for gardening. Vision impairment does not have to spoil your enjoyment of gardening either. In fact, with some planning, care, and a readiness to ask for help when you need it, you can have a garden that has a lot more going on for it than just eye appeal. You can have a garden that appeals to all of your senses. A word of caution. The suggestions printed here are helpful hints and should not be used as a license to perform dangerous tasks. Be careful not to attempt a project you may feel in a potentially harmful situation. Ask for assistance with the project if you feel at risk. And above all, do not use any chemical compound without first reading the label directions or having someone read them to you. Tips on planning your garden, getting around in the garden. Getting around in the garden should be your first consideration. Most gardens have a lawn, which is attractive and cushions accidental falls. However, canes and crutch tips can easily get tangled in the grass. Grass can also hide uneven ground, which can throw you off balance. So it's a good idea to use some sort of paving for navigating in the garden or landscape. Paths and paved areas should be smooth, level, and firm. They should always have good traction. Wood, for example, becomes very slippery when wet. Provide direct routes through the garden, and make sure paths have clear beginnings and ends. Include wind chimes, fountains, and other objects you can hear, so you can orient yourself in the garden more easily. Path edges should have distinct differences in texture, such as concrete to grass or bricks to a mulched bed, so you can detect the edges. Use a strip with a change in texture across the path to indicate an entrance to a patio, a tree with an interesting bark, or a clump of particularly fragrant plants. The strip should be about 12 to 18 inches wide and can make any noticeably contrasting paving materials, such as a brick strip across a crushed stone path. Avoid raised edging, which can create a tripping hazard. Making the garden easy to work with is the next consideration. Raised beds and containers make it easy to reach in the soil and the plants. Raised beds are stable and heavy enough for you to sit on the edge or lean on for support. While containers can be moved and take up less room, these structures also outdone the number of special tools you'll need to tend to your garden. Avoid structures with sharp corners and edges. The right tools are also important. You'll need to select the tools that are durable, lightweight, and easy for you to use. Some tools, like garden trowels, have engraving markings to indicate soil depth, making it easier to determine how deep to plant bulbs and other transplants. Most garden jobs are easier and less strenuous when you can use both hands. This may be difficult if you need a cane to move around. To make your tools easy to carry, you may want to wear a garden apron or a tool belt with lots of pockets so you can keep your hands free. A four-wheeled wagon can carry several larger tools and be pulled with one hand. Cordless electric tools are safer and easier than power tools with cords. Tools should have brightly colored handles to prevent you from accidentally grabbing the sharp blades or losing them. Again, if you do not feel that you can safely operate these tools, play it safe and ask for assistance. All gardens need routine maintenance. The major tasks you'll need to perform to keep your garden productive include planting, watering, weeding, fertilizing, pruning, and pest control. Numerous extension publications discuss the basics of these tasks. The following are suggestions to make them easier if you have a visual impairment. Planting. An orderly garden is easier for the visually impaired gardener to maintain and helps locating specific plants. In vegetable gardens, plant your crops in straight rows and space plants evenly apart. Run a rope with evenly spaced knots across the garden and plant your seeds or transplants at each knot. You can also cut evenly spaced notches into a wood board and use that as a template. Any plant that is not along the straight line may be considered a weed. If you are planting seeds or small transplants, use your hands to feel how deeply they need to go. The root ball of a transplant must be completely covered to prevent the roots from drying out. Many plants won't grow well if planted too deeply, however. Dig your planting hole with a garden trowel or with your hand and place the plant into it. The top of the root ball should be level with or slightly below the soil line of the garden. With your fingers, push large seeds into the soil depth of 2 or 3 times their diameter. Lay small seeds along in a row, and then cover them with a light layer of compost or peat moss. Seed planting can be made easier by using seed tape. This can be purchased from most garden centers and seed companies. Lay the tape in a straight line to plant your seeds, and after the first few rains, the paper decomposes and disappears. With herb and flower gardens, both annuals and perennials, you may not have straight rows. Use a label or a tag next to each plant to help you identify different plants or varieties. The name and variety can be printed with large, readable letters or in Braille. Labelers are available that can imprint a weatherproof plastic tape in either Braille or large print. Even without writing, labels and stakes are the easiest way to say, "This plant stays." All plants need water, but they may not need the same amount. Group plants with similar watering needs or frequency together to avoid accidents, keep hoses off of paths, and try to avoid getting walkways wet and slippery. Containerized plants may need to be watered as much as once or twice a day. You can water these with a hose or a watering can. Add water until it begins to seep out of the drainage holes in the bottom. This way, you're sure the entire root ball is getting wet. Keep your hand along the top of the container so you can feel if you're overfilling the container. Vegetables, annual flowers, trees, and shrubs all do best with 1 inch of water each week. A rain gauge will tell you how much irrigation or rainwater has been added to your garden. You can make an inexpensive but functional rain gauge out of a coffee can, a pickle jar, or anything with straight sides. Place it in the garden where it's easy to find, and you can dip a tactile or Braille ruler into the jar to measure the amount of water you've collected. Tape a piece of construction paper to the back of the ruler so you can feel how high the water measures on the ruler. Sprinklers can be placed in the garden and moved about as needed. The rain gauge makes it easy to measure when enough water has been added. However, overhead sprinklers waste water and can increase plant disease problems, especially if foliage is kept wet at night. A soaker hose or drip irrigation will keep water off the leaves and cause less waste. Soaker hoses and drip irrigation tubes can be run along the garden row or interwoven between shrubs and flowers. You need to time how long it takes your soaker system to supply moisture to the root zone, usually 6 inches deep. The time needed will vary with soil type and water pressure and equipment. And once you know how long you need, you can set your irrigation system on a timer to shut off automatically. The most important thing in weed control is identifying a weed. This is a difficult skill even under the best of circumstances. It's even more difficult from a gardener with impaired vision. Placing plants in straight lines and regular spacing between the plants will help. Anything that's not in a straight line or marked with a label is most likely a weed. Learn to tell the difference between your garden plants and common weeds by sight, touch, and smell. Visit other gardens and familiarize yourself with the ways plants feel and smell. You may also want to have an experienced sighted gardener check your garden and landscape for poison ivy and other dangerous weeds before you handle them. If weeds appear in your garden, the easiest way to get rid of them is to pull them. One way to reduce the amount of weed pulling is not let the presence of an individual weed or two bother you. This way, weeding once a week will get rid of the most troublesome problems. A layer of mulch between garden plants will also reduce weed problems. Pruning trees and shrubs corrects defects, rejuvenates the plant, and removes low-hanging limbs that may cause injury. Gardeners are normally warned not to prune large branches from big trees due to the danger of having a large branch fall off them. This is doubly important if you're visually impaired, because you won't see a branch beginning to fall or able to locate a safe escape route. For shade trees, hire an arborist. Smaller shrubs can be pruned with less risk. If an individual plant is not growing correctly, follow this branch with your hand until you find where it meets the main limb or trunk. At this place, remove the branch with your shears or pruning saw. Take care to keep your fingers out of the way. In summary, the garden is a magical place that can and should be enjoyed by everyone. This publication is a brief introduction to the world of gardening for people with impaired vision. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Copycat Banana Bread Larabear writes, Prep time, 10 minutes. Ingredients, 2 cups raw almonds, 1 ripe banana sliced, 10 to 12 pitted medjool dates. In a food processor, grind the almonds to a fine consistency. Next, add the banana and the dates and pulse until the dough starts to form. You may have to stop every couple of pulses to scrape down the sides and ensure that everything gets well combined. Roll the dough into little balls and place on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper. Place in the fridge to set. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Decorating tips for a stress-free home. This is from Healthy Home, Celeste Perrin. Here's a good reason to do some low-cost redecorating. The choices you can make result in an enhanced mood, less stress, and better sleep. Turn your space into a healing haven and follow easy decorating tips for a stress-free home. In the entryway, create a feel-good focal point. The first thing you see when you enter your home should be something you love, whether that's a piece of art, a vase of flowers, or a special souvenir, says Stephanie Roberts, author of Fast Feng Shui, 9 Principles for Transforming Your Life by Energizing Your Home. A beautiful first impression helps you relax from the get-go. Organize daily debris. If you see an old newspaper on the floor and bags of Goodwill donations waiting to be dropped off, you're going to think, obligation, not relaxation. Piles of stuff at your entryway send the message that there's more mess and chaos inside. Who wants to walk into that, Robert says. Have a designated place for every item that enters and exits your house, says Paige Rain, an interior designer in New Jersey, appearing on HGTV's Hidden Potential. She suggests placing a couple of cheap containers near the front door, one for outgoing items and one for incoming things. In your living room, create space. Anxiety builds in small spaces if there's too much stuff. To reduce the clutter and make the room feel larger, ask yourself if you really need all those end tables, or picture frames, or cut anything deemed non-essential. Consider painting a table or a bookshelf the same color as the wall it's up against, so it disappears into it. Painting walls white or a light color will also make a small room feel more spacious. Light up locations, not whole rooms. Bright overhead light can make it difficult to wind down at the end of the day. Think how a casino's lights keep you revved up, says Catherine Grace Morris, a psychologist in Maryland who specializes making over people's home and work environments. Use spotlighting for areas where you need brightness, such as next to the sofa where you read, and put overhead lights on dimmers. Also, switch to full-spectrum bulbs, which mimic natural light better than standard ones do. They cost a bit more, but they're worth it because they create a more soothing, natural atmosphere. Create pedestrian-friendly paths. If you can barely get into a chair without banging your leg on the coffee table, or if the path from the sofa to the door is cramped, rearrange your furniture. Not being able to safely and easily move about produces anxiety, and not to mention an easy way to trip or stub your toe. Simplify your color scheme. Use restraint with patterns and loud colors. If you mix patterns, keep their color scheme similar and if you like lots of colors, keep patterns to a minimum. If you have too many bright colors or a high contrast pattern in a room, your eyes are going to be drawn all over the place, making it difficult to relax. Simple designs and colors, on the other hand, are soothing. The less is more rule applies to shelves and tabletops, too. Don't fill them just because they're there. Instead, display just a few pieces that are meaningful. Bring the outdoors in. Being surrounded by natural elements encourages friendlier interactions with others, found a University of Rochester study. For a more peaceful home, bring in a couple of houseplants or hang a mirror across from your largest window to maximize outdoor vantage points. If your view includes more buildings than trees, hang landscape photographs on the walls. In your bedroom, use soothing hues. Generally, we find cool shades of blue and green and natural earth tones to be relaxing because they remind us of nature, says color expert Latrice Eisman, author of Color, Messages and Meanings. If you're not ready to commit to a new paint, incorporate a few accessories such as throw pillows, a quilt, or lampshades in calming colors. Switch off electronics. To rest easier, remove all televisions and computers from your bedroom. The light emitted by these devices signals the brain to stay awake, interfering with a good night's sleep, and leaving you with elevated levels of stress hormones in the morning. If you must keep these gadgets where you sleep, Rein recommends placing the TV in a cabinet or putting a screen between your bed and the computer. Bring your fantasy to life. Think about what paradise looks like to you. If it's a tropical island, add sand and sea shades and tropical touches, such as wicker side tables or a seagrass rug. Prefer a mountain cabin or country home? Add colors and textures and accessories to your bedroom that call those settings to mind. Design is highly individual, so mine your past experiences and flip through design magazines to identify what elements make a room feel relaxing to you. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Sweet potato bacon hash for one. Prep time, 5 minutes. Cook time, 10 minutes. And total time, 15. One small sweet potato chopped into small cubes. 3 slices of bacon cut into bite-sized pieces. A generous pinch of fine-grained sea salt. A generous pinch of smoked paprika. A handful of spinach roughly chopped, 1 egg, an extra pinch of salt and black pepper to taste, and thinly sliced green onions for garnish. Heat a well-seasoned cast iron skillet or other non-stick heavy skillet over medium heat and add your bacon pieces. Allow the bacon to cook just long enough to render some fat, and then add your chopped sweet potatoes to the pan and stir to coat with fat. Sprinkle on a pinch of salt along with the smoked paprika if you're using it. Cover the pan with any cover to allow the potatoes to fry and steam at the same time. Perfect fit is not necessary. Cook for about 1 to 2 minutes covered, and then uncover and stir to prevent burning. Adjust the heat if necessary, and then cover again and cook until the bacon and potatoes are browning. The potatoes should be getting soft. Uncover the skillet and add your chopped spinach. Stir to coat the spinach with bacon fat, and add a pinch of salt. Then recover to allow the spinach to cook. While the hash is cooking, you can fry or scramble your egg in a separate pan. You can then use rendered bacon fat for this, or another fat of choice. Once the bacon, potatoes, and spinach are cooked to your preference, stir once again, and transfer to a plate to serve. Top your cooked egg and garnish with the green onion, and add additional salt and pepper if desired for your final touch. Enjoy! You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Tips for natural cleaning success. Number 1. Baking soda for oven cleaning. A paste of baking soda and water cleans ovens without chemicals or the hassle of self-cleaning cycle. Just make a paste on the bottom of the oven, leave for a few hours, and wipe off for a shiny, chemical-free oven. Save money on magic erasers. Rather than buying the name brand magic erasers, buy the melamine sponge in bulk from a large source or on Amazon and save. Switch to microfiber. I have saved a lot of money since I switched to microfiber. I was using inexpensive homemade cleaners before switching, and I have a set of antibacterial microfiber cloths and a microfiber mop set that I love and use daily. I can literally clean my entire house, except for the toilets, with just water. Keep things simple. I have one color-coded microfiber cloth per room. No chemicals, and it saves money. Make a scouring powder. For soap scum on tubs and showers, make your own scouring powder with 2 parts baking soda, 1 part salt, and 1 part borax. It'll cut through even the toughest scum. Citrus-infused vinegar. Fill a jar with citrus peels and pour undiluted white vinegar over them. Leave for a few days, up to 2 weeks, and strain out the vinegar to use as a natural cleaner. It works as water cleaner for windows, dilute with water, and mopping floors or disinfecting surfaces. Use a checklist for each room so that you can clean efficiently, or assign jobs to children, know that they will be thorough. Treat stains naturally. Small Wellness Mama Stain Treatment Laundry Guide with soaps and stain treaters can see some of the worst offenders for toxic chemicals. They are natural options that really work well, but it helps to know a little chemistry. Natural options work better on different types of stains. Clean the dishwasher. To clean your dishwasher effortlessly, fill a dishwasher-safe bowl or jar with 2 cups of vinegar and set on the top rack of the dishwasher. I use a small Pyrex container. Run on a thorough hot cycle with no other dishes in the dishwasher to clean and remove any musty odor. I use my garbage disposal a lot, and sometimes it gets that not-so-lovely odor. To combat this, cut a lemon in half and shove in the garbage disposal and grind, with water running for 10 seconds. Freeze lemon and orange peels in ice cube trays with vinegar and water, and throw these in and grind for 10 seconds. Pour a half a cup of baking soda in and 1 cup of distilled white vinegar. Let sit for 10 minutes before running water and the disposal. In a natural air freshener, you can have a medium saucepan, simmer a quart of water with natural ingredients to freshen and clean the air. Just make sure not to let the water evaporate completely. Some ideas for this. 1 sliced lemon, 2 tablespoons of rosemary, and a dash of vanilla. A sliced lime and a chopped ginger root, a sliced orange, some cinnamon, and a dash of nutmeg and cloves. It smells like pumpkin pie. 2 tablespoons of thyme and a sliced lime. Save a lot of money by making your own laundry soap. If you have potty training kids, tackle urine stains in the mattresses with a great solution using hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and ditch soap. Clean your shower heads by filling a plastic bag with white vinegar and tie the bag around the shower head so the shower is immersed in the vinegar. Leave on for up to 12 hours and remove carefully. Pour down a drain and your shower should be clean and free of any water residue. Clean stains and car upholstery with Dawn dish soap, baking soda, and club soda. Clean your toilet by dumping a cup of baking soda in the toilet and let soak for at least an hour. Pour in a cup of white vinegar and leave for 5 minutes and flush. Unless your toilet's really dirty, this will clean it without scrubbing. Clean your stove vent with boiling water and baking soda. Glass spray bottle. Use glass rather than plastic, especially when they contain substances that can break down. A friend of mine gave me a glass spray bottle as a gift. I've made several more using Bragg's apple cider vinegar bottles with the tops from a plastic bottle. These look a lot better, in my opinion, and are earth-friendly. Since switching to microfiber for window cleaning, I never go back. Cleans without chemicals, and all you need is water. Leaves no streaks or lint. Yes, there are store-bought cleaners with good ingredients that make life easier. While I enjoy my own DIY cleaning recipes, I honestly don't love the smell of vinegar, and not everyone wants to use borax. Some store-bought green cleaners I've used. Dr. Bronner's Sal Suds Concentrate, a coconut-based natural formula that cleans exceptionally well. In fact, one drop added to 2 quarts of water is enough to clean carpet stains. A teaspoon in a quart of water is enough to clean most surfaces and is very effective laundry spray stain treatment when diluted. Bon Ami Powder, a natural powder-based cleaner and scouring powder that works on tough stains and grimes like showers and tubs. Dr. Bronner's Liquid Castile Soap Concentrate, for personal uses, gentle house cleaning, foaming hand soap, and more. I still make my own laundry soap, but will buy BioClean laundry detergent or EcoCover Zero if I'm pressed for time or traveling. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service, building a better snack from Healthy Homestead Mama. We take snacking seriously around here on the homestead. To keep us all healthy and happy, we try to keep something nourishing in our body every 2 to 3 hours. In most cases, we need something quick and simple to grab, and I want our snacks to serve a purpose, give us energy, and keep us full, and provide us with the most nutrition possible. We tend to keep staple snack foods in rotation during the week. We are at home most days and like to stick to sharing fruit or veggie sticks with one of our easy homemade dips or extra dose of goodness like liver pate. Carl prefers grab-and-go snacks to keep him going throughout the day. Liver pate. This is actually what Claire requests the most. Be on the lookout for a recipe and why you need liver in your life. You'll need 3 components to build a perfect snack. A healthy fat or protein. Are you pairing that apple or banana with a healthy fat? If you want to get all the nutritional benefits from your fruit or without a side of sugar rush, you need to have a healthy fat or protein with it. Think nut, seed butters, raw cheeses, and avocados. Texture. Keep it interesting by adding crunch from nuts, fresh produce, and crackers. After all, snacking needs to be fun. And your cleanliness factor. No napkins needed when you're snacking on the go. Grab easy items like fruit and nut bars, whole pieces of fruit, or crackers. I even like to add another boost of nutrition to our snack time by keeping some of homemade almond milk in a portable container for sipping on. Run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Rivka Skidmore, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long, until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Flavor.